bring in our Hawks guru, Jason Walker of PeachtreeHoops.com. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Mr. Shanks, I'm doing good. The Hawks are 2-0 in a seven-game series for the first time since 1970.
You know, he,
great.
Russ, he kind of sounded like Bob Rathbun right there. Did you notice
that? Hey.
Wow.
He did.
Hi, I'm Bob Rathbun.
He kind of sounded like Bob Rathbun. We love Bob Rathbun, but dang, you kind of sounded like Bob Rathbun right there.
All right.
First question. If by some chance the Hawks get kicked out and Mike Woodson is no longer the coach, any truth to the rumor that Jason Hayward will be taking over as the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks?
I tell you, he could probably. I think there's a lot of fans that would push for him being the owner.
He'll be able to buy them soon.
That's right.
Believe me, he'll be able to buy them soon.
Don't be shocked to see every Atlanta franchise trying to run Jason Hayward, Hayward out in front of people just to get some goodwill for own fan base.
Well, and he could play power forward for the Hawks and probably defensive end. He'd be a lot better than the defensive ends the Falcons have, so that is possible. All right, I was with the Braves last night, so I was unable to watch most of it, but Russ was telling me a little bit earlier in the show that he actually saw some strategery on offense, and that there looked like there was a plan of action. Is that what happens when you're under the gun and you may get fired?
Hold on a second. Mr. Shanks, you know, they do have something called a DVR now.
That's
that
true.
You can actually record
something
that's going on another channel.
You're right. I should have done it for my journalistic responsibilities, but I I just assumed they would be okay, though, Jay. I mean, they won easily on Saturday. And no, honestly, last night at Turner Field, I went by the television a couple of times, and they were in control to where I didn't really worry about it too much. And that's a shame because it is a playoff series. But how much of a problem, if any, did they have last night?
Well, you know, they did. You know, one of their flaws as a team is defensive rebounding. And the Bucks were able to exploit that for 18 offensive rebounds, which is a huge number. And they actually had 29 second-chance points off of those offensive rebounds. So they struggled in that area. But Russ is absolutely right. The offense and the transition game was in high gear, and that's what allowed them to really to keep the game where it was never really in doubt. 10 points was same margin of victory as the first game, but I think everybody would say that the Hawks played a much more well-rounded game with the exception of their early defensive rebounding and did that. And they did. They moved the ball very well. Yes, Joe Johnson scored 27, but he was very successful as a result of the ball going inside and out. And, the strategy Russ is referring to has to be the pick and roll they ran late in the game, which in our mind, what we wrote in our recap this morning was the game over point in the game where Bibby ran a pick and roll to Horford. He slipped. Bibby's such a great passer. Slipped the ball to Horford. Horford just danced down the lane and jammed it while getting a silly foul by Kurt Thomas. And really, it put the Hawks up by 13, and they were never challenged at that point.
The website is PeachtreeHoops.com. That is Jason Walker here on our show. Well, but let me ask you this now. Is the strategery that is obviously being implemented, boy, I sound like I'm on a financial network when I'm using those kind of terms, but with that strategy and the different things they are doing, are they to some extent, Jay, not overlooking Milwaukee, but saying, okay, if we see the opportunity, let's do some things that will also help us win the ball game, by the way, but more so, bigger picture, allow us to prepare for round two. Is it safe to say that is a possibility, even though they would never admit that publicly? But when they're behind closed doors, are they saying, let's do some things now to see if we can get it ready for round two?
Well, you know, this is what they need to do. I mean, every game to get ready for any two, they have to move the basketball. They can't isolate. They can't let the defense, any defense, get set. And that's what they did last night. So if that was their game plan going in, which, you know, gee whiz, they should that should be the game plan every night. Then yes, and that is exactly what they need to do to take on Cleveland or Orlando or whoever their second round opponent should they end up taking care of Milwaukee. Absolutely, they got to do it. They got to move that ball side to side, inside to out. It gets better shots for guys like Johnson, Crawford, and Bibby. And, you know, and when they are in the lane, it gets them a higher percentage shots there. So, yeah, that's what they need to do. If it, if that's their strategy, then, hey, I'm giving them a standing ovation right now, even though I'm sitting.
But, Jay, why did it take so long?
Well, you know, there's no guarantee, Bill. They're going to come out and do this in Game 3 in Milwaukee. So, you know, let's just celebrate the fact that they figured it out for one game and hope that it resonates to the point where they want to repeat that behavior. Right? You know, why is it taking, you know, they just, you know, I don't know if it's lack of trust or if they're calling the plays and the guards aren't operating it. I don't know. But it was nice to see that execution last night and, you know, to see the kind of game Josh Smith had where, you know, he nearly pulled a triple-double and had a game that has only been duplicated in the playoffs three times by guys like Bill Russell. You know, so that's quite an accomplishment for a guy like Smith and for the team last night.
Well, but we know what he can do. I mean, as much as Joe Johnson does, and this may be the nicest thing I've ever said about Joe Johnson, you know, as much as he does do on the court, we know that, for the most part, a lot of times that team goes as Josh Smith goes. So to see him have that type, I mean, that will be the type of thing, I believe, Jason, correct me if I'm wrong here, that when they do move on to the second round, whoever they play, it's not going to be easy. I mean, this is a team that is scary in that when they play like they have, and I know Milwaukee doesn't have Bogut and everything, but still, they're playing good basketball right now. We said that. We said they got to play well going in. Then they got to go play well in that first round. Well, they are. They won four in a row in the season. They have now won the first two games rather easily against Milwaukee. I mean, this is what I think we all kind of wanted, didn't we?
Yeah, they're showing the type of team basketball that allows the level of their talent to play at its best. And that's the type of talent that has convinced me they can make it to the finals. But this is the kind of game they have to play. And you can't do it for, you know, 30 minutes or so like they did last night against Milwaukee. They got to do it for 48 against Cleveland and Orlando. And if, you know, heaven help us, they make it to the finals and play a Western Conference champion.
Yeah.
That's the type of game they got to play for all 48 minutes. They can't take these lapses off like maybe they did last night early on when they allowed all those offensive rebounds. It's the team focus. The defense was great last night with the exception of the rebounding, and the offense was fantastic moving around. Three guys scoring over 20 points. Johnson with 27, Smith with 21, Horford with 20. And, you know, that's the kind of game that they're going to have. When you consider that the bench got skunked 40-7 by the Milwaukee reserves, you know, that tells you the type of game that the starters had last night. And, you know, it's fun to see, and it's great to see the team taking care of their business at home. Now they got to take that kind of effort and energy on the road.
Jason Walker, our guest from PetrieHoops.com. Has Mike Bibby found a niche with the way he's playing and the style of basketball he's playing here? He's not the Mike Bibby of old, is he? He's a little bit different player. Is that a maturity that he's got in learning what his role is with this team that he's accepted well, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, I like the way he's playing. I don't know, I'd have to look at see what he did last year or something like that. But you're right. He seems to have found, you know, his passing is exquisite when it comes to those lobs and his timing on the break, the way he's able to control tempo, and just the way he's able to find his spots on the floor. I think what has helped Mike Bibby the most is that the Hawks have been more dedicated to moving the ball inside and then back out where Bibby is way more open and not having to take off-balance, off-screen shots. I think that's what you're seeing a lot more of Mike with his feet under him, spotting up, taking open jump shots. And then, geez, a lot of guys in the league are a lot better when they can do that kind of thing. So, yeah, I like the way Mike's playing. I think that he is the only true point guard on this roster. And it's so comforting in a game like last night where Teague came off the bench and played like a rookie, got lost, looked like he didn't know one of the plays on offense. And to have Mike come off the bench and just settle everything down and control tempo and for him to make those open shots it's fun. It's nice to watch. It makes, you know, makes everybody else a lot better when he's able to knock down those open jump shots.
Well, I mean, 5 years ago, this guy was a 20-point-per-game scorer, and now he is, he's down to, at least in the regular season, 9. So, I mean, that's not all players in the NBA can adjust to that easily, can they?
No, winning helps. So, right, you know, 53 wins and three-year, $18 million contract. Those things will help you.
Sure.
Adjust. You know, but I, you know, he may, yeah, his scoring was down, but I think, you know, I like the way that Woody used him this year in that role. Would have liked to have seen Teague play more behind him, but you know, I think that this Mike Bibby can, we can see this out of Mike Bibby for the next two or three years through the end of this contract. And that would be just fine with me. I think it's still very effective, and they can use them when they need them the most. So it's a good piece.
Jason Walker, our guest, PeachtreeHoops.com is the website. All right, we know how well they play it at home. There's no doubt about that. But when they go on the road, it's been somewhat of a little bit different story. Milwaukee, they haven't been very good the last couple of years. They're going to be pumped up. They're going to have the playoffs there. Be maybe kind of like the Hawks were 2 years ago. What do you expect this team to do once it does go back on the road?
Well, first, the first thing, Hawks fans, if you haven't watched the team play in Milwaukee yet this year, be ready for the most annoying horns you've ever heard. It's like a soccer game when you're watching a game there at the Bradley Center. So be prepared for that when you're watching the game. Turn on Steve Holman if you need to. Turn down the TV volume, but you're going to hear it there too. It's a rowdy crowd. It's a tough environment. But the Hawks just went in there, on the 12th, just 9 days ago, went in there and won. They won 104-96. Milwaukee gave them a really good punch, you know, to the mouth, and the Hawks were still able to come back and respond and win that game. So I would expect that if the Hawks have energy and focus like they did somewhat in this game and then tighten up their defensive boards, Milwaukee just simply doesn't have enough to beat Atlanta. It would be great to see Atlanta come out focused, take care of these next two games, and be done on Monday and be done with the first round and start to focus on some of the things that they need to do to beat whoever their second-round opponent is.
Will this be a situation where it will simply be better if they do sweep this team simply for a confidence perspective and confidence just to have that swag? I mean, they've got to feel a little swagger now, don't they, Jay?
Well, right, and, you know, if you sweep a team, you definitely have swagger.
Right.
You're definitely thinking, man, we took care of that. And two games on the road, winning two games in a tough place against a very tough team and a well-coached team like Milwaukee, you know, that I would have to think that builds a lot of confidence. I don't buy into the too much rest theory. You know, you win the games. You certainly don't want to start, you know, you don't want to lose games just so you play more. So 4-0 sounds awfully good. Being done, this first round can be forever. If you're losing and playing a seven-game series, that first round can seem to take forever. And I think that takes a toll on things as well. So it'd be nice to see the Hawks take care of Game 3 on Saturday and hammer out Game 4 on Monday and come on home and get ready for Round 2.
Jason Walker, our guest, PeachtreeHoops.com, the website. Any surprises in the playoffs so far to you of how teams are playing or anything like that?
Well, yeah, I was a little surprised that a couple of the teams that, you know, pulled off an upset on the road, you know, Portland without Brandon Roy, although Phoenix had their say, also in Utah after losing Mehmet Okur coming back, with the injuries to Kirilenko and Okur just coming back and winning those basketball games. That's been a little bit of a surprise, but maybe Miami not showing up against Boston in Game 2, that was surprising to me how little they were able to do. I thought that might have been an upset possibility, you know. I think those were surprises that some of the home teams that were playing weaker opponents gave things up, and then that Miami just didn't show up didn't show up at all. And you know, you wonder what that could mean for free agency and Dwayne Wade and that kind of thing if Miami doesn't have a very good showing here in the first round.
What do you think is going to happen with Wade?
I think that I believe, you know, if I had to take a guess, if he doesn't stay in Miami, which I believe him when he says he'd rather stay in Miami, but I think there's some strings attached to that. I'd like to stay in Miami if you bring in somebody to play with me.
Right.
That's not a broken down Jermaine O'Neal or not a project, inconsistent project like Michael Beasley. Give me some more talent down here. Otherwise, I could see him easily going home to Chicago. Playing for the Bulls and playing with Derrick Rose. I mean, a Rose-Wade backcourt would be tremendous. The Bulls have so many pieces already to be able to do that. I can see Wade going home to Chicago and playing there, staying in South Beach. I don't see New York as a possibility for Wade. I don't think he wants to fool with that kind of headlining, you know. And I don't think that if it wasn't for his hometown, I'd say he'd probably stay away from Chicago. But I think that Miami and Chicago are the best shots. You know, it's funny, the Knicks, you start drawing a line, if LeBron stays in Cleveland and Wade goes to Chicago, and, the Knicks could really be scrambling. And, suddenly it makes Joe Johnson, a must-have for a team like the Knicks with enough money to sign two max free agents and people maybe not being willing to go there. It'll be a very interesting, offseason once we get there.
That's probably what Joe Johnson's agent is counting on for all that to happen. I think you and Joe Johnson's agent are good friends, aren't you?
I'll take a cut if he wants some advice, I'll be happy to give it for a price.
Exactly.
But that'll be interesting to see what happens with Joe in the offseason. But I think they made the right move for themselves by not taking the 4-year deal. It looks like he's going to get six years in max money from somebody this offseason.
Wow. Pretty nice. Must be pretty nice. All right.
Good work if you can get it.
Yep, no doubt about that. The website is PetrieHoops.com. He is Jason Walker. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it, sir. Good to talk to you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
My pleasure. Let's go Hawks.